turned around and directed at him. Because no man comes to God except the Spirit draws him there. And amen, when the Lord draws us and we get an idea, just a glimpse, it provokes praise, adulation. Children know how to praise him. They're born with that. It's the most natural thing that we do is giving God praise. And he inhabits, he lives, he dwells, he moves, he breathes in that atmosphere of praise. And today at the Super Bowl, later this evening, there will be a lot of noise and there will be people cheering, and it will be a sound that you will not be able to distinguish who's saying what. But it's directed on the 11 members down there on each side. It's directed to that. And at the end of it, there will be a winner and a loser. And unfortunately, some of those in the crowd and some of those that bet a lot of money on the winner and lost, they're going to be very sad. And it doesn't matter to me which one. I hate a tainted game, you know. I just do. But this, my sermon is not about the injustice done to a pass interference call. It has nothing to do with that at all. But I'm aware of it. But when you gather our attention into this setting, I tell you what, I'm way behind. I'm indebted. And I'll never be able to pay for what God has just done for my life. We all have come short of the glory of God. Amen. I know I've been penalized not enough times. Starting from when I was very young. My mother said one time, not too many years ago, "Oh, I wish I hadn't have spanked you kids as much. You know, I just think I went overboard." I said, "Mom, you have no idea." No idea. I was in the plus side when I left home. She doesn't know. She remembers the bonfire in the bathroom, you know, those things. And I wasn't punished for that because it scared me to death. But all the other things. We're still all ahead, Mom, all five of us. We know the mercy. But today is about something so much higher and so much greater. Yeah. Eternal differences will be made today. Amen. Eternally. I want to say to our guests, you honor us by being here. We do not take it for granted. Glad that you chose to be with us today. So thankful. And if you are a first-time guest, we'd like to meet you. Just a couple of us, a few of us in a room in the lobby to the right, and just for a few moments to say hello. No, in the sometimes in the busyness of shaking hands and going in our separate ways, you know, that can get in the way and we may forget. And we like to just concentrate on that for a few moments and say hello. But it's good to have all of you here today. Amen. So good to be in this atmosphere where our music team and has selected and led us in some songs that just lead us right into the presence of God. Once again. Amen. I got to hear Brother Keith's message today, and my, how applicable it was in a way that only he could have taught it. Keeps your attention. And that was good. That was quite a treat. I want to go to Romans chapter 6 before we're seated. I know you've been standing a while, but I'm going to give you like a long time to sit down after this. No. I told my wife, I said, I have shortened this because I don't want to take too long. And we have I'm excited about what comes after this. We have a new members dinner after service, and I'm excited about that. And I really am. And so I'm compressing this so that we're not here all day. But Romans chapter 6 in the New King James, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Chapter 5, he's talking about, Paul is writing about grace. So he says, now, should we keep on sinning so that God's grace can just keep on flowing? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many as us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? Meaning we were baptized unto the fact he died. He died out. But when we are baptized in water in that name of Jesus, we're cleansed from sin. And we don't rise up out of the water saying, I'm going right back where I came from because now I've been protected. No. They said, no, that's not how it is. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in that new way of living. Amen. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, he was buried in a tomb, we're buried in water in his name, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died, the one who has died, the one that has been buried, the one that's repented, has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. We believe that if we died and were buried in his name, we should live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, that the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't let that happen, that you should obey it in the lust. Don't let sin reign there. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not, everyone say, shall not. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Amen. It's for by grace that you've been saved, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anybody should brag about it. Thank God for grace. I want to talk about today, wanted, dead and alive. Remember the wanted posters? Wanted, dead and alive, both of those. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask that your hand would be on us today, Father. Lord, let your grace be multiplied to us, and let your word, oh God, let it move and do the right work, for your word is forever settled in heaven, anointed forever, we ask in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I remember in the cowboy days of growing up, and the cowboys, the good guys would wear white hats, the bad guys, they wore black hats. And it helped you know, even in a black and white TV at grandma's house, that the good guys, white hats, keep your eye on them. And the guys in those black hats are up to no good. And even in their wanted posters, they had the hats on there. And you know, they were indeed bad guys. Bad guys. And they would have a poster. And if a guy was really, really bad, I mean, he was so bad that you didn't want him fighting to get in. You just wanted to go get him and put him on a stagecoach and wrapped up in some cloth, you know. And when it was a real bad guy, you weren't worried about him having a trial. It would say, wanted dead or alive. It don't matter. You just bring him in. You can bring half of him, three-fourths of him. But we just want to know he's dead. So we just want him here in here dead. Dead or alive. And I'll tell you, the Lord accepts us the way we are. You know, the song, just as I am. You know, Lord, he receives us just the way we are. But he can't receive us until we die. Wait a minute, you just said the way, yeah, he accepts us the way we are. You're imperfect, amen. We don't have it all together. But he asked this one thing, that you die. In other words, just the word in the Bible says repent. And then be buried in his name. That repentance means, Lord, I'm turning around and I'm going the other way. But here's the cool thing about it is, you know, at one time we served sin and sin had us bound. But when we turn our back on it, that's that death right there. Saying, I'm dying out to what I was doing and I'm living to what God has given me to do. And what an awesome life that it is. What an awesome life. I say this a lot, and I think it will always bear repeating it because it's my personal experience. It amazed me that at the age of 8 years old that I felt, first of all, felt conviction. I felt something I needed to do at the preaching and the service that night. And so when I went down to that altar and I knelt down and asked God to forgive me of my world of sins, all those sins I'd committed at 8 years old, as I was a criminal by nature and lifetime. But when I repented and I began to worship the Lord, as they told me, I began to speak in a language I didn't know, and I didn't even know it was me. I just heard it, and it was amazing, the feeling that came over me, and I knew it was real at the age of 8 years old. But the amazing thing was when I woke up or kind of came to myself and I turned around and everybody was looking at me and the other people there that had been praying, and they were hugging us and they were joyful. The same kind of a joy when a baby is born. When you're born the second time, it's also a great deal of joy that's expected there. But what amazed me was what I felt. I felt brand new. And yet, think about 8 years old, the sins that I could have committed, there's not going to be too many. I don't know what my repentance was like. Lord, forgive me for lying. I don't know if there's any more. What does a kid do at 8 years old? You know, I didn't hold up any banks. I didn't speed. I don't know. I might have hit somebody. I didn't mean to. I might have, lied about it. But the neat thing about it was, at that age, because I accomplished what the Bible tells me to do, to repent and be baptized, God filled me with that. He purchased me. If we died with Christ, he said, we believe that we shall also live with him. In other words, if we repented and were buried in his name, we believe that our life's not going to be out there lonely, wondering, is this real or is it not? He gives you that seal of satisfaction where you know you got something. Amen. You know you've got something. If you want to see miserable people, and I don't know. You may be just thinking, I'd love to go to a miserable museum where they got miserable people. And just look at those who have repented, but they don't believe that there's anything beyond that. And they subject themselves to the ritualistic religions of having to just go and abide in a place and hope that that's going to pay off someday. It can be miserable. I'm not saying everybody's that way, but I don't know what I would do without the power of the Spirit to guide me and to strengthen me. I'm thankful to God for this experience. Thank you, God. Amen. The reason now that Spirit-filled churches are the exception is because there is life after death. Amen. There's something else that happens once you come out of that water being buried in his name. There's life that you begin to live, and there's power that God gives you, an ability that God gives you that you don't had before. He proves to you that he's an almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. But if we do not die, new life will be interrupted by our earthly dead nature. We have a deaf nature. It's just we're submitted to it. We're pinned down. We're bound to this world by our old life, even 8 years old. Amen. Even at 8 years old, I felt the dramatic difference. And what I say, I felt this and that. But the Bible doesn't talk about that, the feelings, because God knows everybody in their own way are going to experience something, and you're going to know you got changed. You're going to know you were changed. And I wasn't, see, at 8 years old, that was the most dramatic thing. I wasn't bound by alcohol or nicotine. I wasn't bound by the sins that can truly get a hold of a person and drive their marriage into the ground and the relationships go up in smoke. I wasn't bound by any of those things. It's nothing. I mean, seriously, my repentance was just, Lord, forgive me for lying and hitting Steve the other day and my friend and lived down the street and Donnie and all that. And Lord, I didn't have a vast list of sins and crimes that I'd committed. Probably after that, I made up some room. I made up ground, and had to repent later, of course. But at that time, the amazing thing was God let me know that was something real. Christ, having been raised from the dead, he dies no more. He did that for us today. That's why we don't literally, physically die. We just The word repent means to turn yourself around and go the other way. That's just repent. God, forgive me for going in that direction. Now I'm going to go this direction. I will not sin. But what if we do? The Bible says, well, if any man sins, we have a lawyer. His name's Jesus Christ. And he stands in your stead and says, I got this. How? Blood. You know, it's forever. It's eternal. Remember, God is an eternal God. He's eternal to us today. His mercy is eternal. His ways are eternal. His forgiveness is eternal. Raise your hand if you've gone back to his mercy in the last week, month, or years. Oh, yeah, we have. Every hand, every one of us. We went back to the mercy of God and said, Lord, have mercy on me again. The only way that's going to get me in trouble. And I thought I had loopholes when I was a kid. I thought I found loopholes in God's awesome kingdom because I was so brilliant. Like, you know, I didn't want the Lord to come before Christmas. Y'all have heard that story. And so they said he'll come in a time you're not expecting it. So I would be at this point near Christmas of, Lord, I'm expecting you to come. I'm expecting you to come so that he wouldn't come. And I honestly thought I'm delaying the coming of the Lord till December 25th because I want to open my presents. And I felt like that might work. Again, I was little. I was young. That doesn't count. But when it was time, when I looked at things I wanted to do that I knew were wrong, I would think, well, I'll do it. I'll just ask God to forgive me. Trust me, it doesn't take people very long to think of that one. I'm going to go there and buy a season pass, and then when I'm done, I'm just going to say, Father, forgive me for that. And it's kid stuff. It's kid stuff, but you got to stop it before you get too old. Because it doesn't translate into adult living, but there's still adults that feel like, you know, God understands. The problem is we sear our conscience, and we end up with this little rabbit trail to that little problem that we involve ourselves in, and we just keep going back, and, you know, God, this is my nature. My dad was like this, and his dad was like that, and you know, we just keep that little rabbit trail, and after a while, we don't believe we can be forgiven, and that's a problem right there. So we've got to keep ourselves tender in God, and that's why we have prayer meetings, why we go to the Word, why we listen to teaching and preaching, because we don't ever want to outgrow the tenderness that we have through God. This is a great life living for Him. Amen. What a great life. So He dies no more. Once we're alive in Him, that spirit, we've got to want God to take it away from us. God won't walk away from you. The enemy would like to come to you and tell you, and he'll whisper it in your ear, you don't have anything. You don't have nothing. You think you do, but you're just a loser. He'll tell you things and convince you that you don't have anything to live for. But death no longer has dominion on Christ, and therefore sin can't bind us anymore. He dies no more. Once we're alive in Him, it says, though our outward man perish, we're being renewed day by day. Right. Amen. The writer Paul said in 2 Corinthians, you're being renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. I'm getting older. The outward man, we take some hits sometimes. But while the outward man is aging, I'm not worried about it because I'm being renewed day by day. I come back to the well again and again, and that water is living water. Oh, Lord, this service like this where we have the presence of God, this is living water. We're at the very threshold of dynamic change when you are in the presence of God. Thank you, Lord. One of the most tragic scenes in the church is when we need to die daily, but we fail to truly live first. And let me explain this. This is a good life living for the Lord. I know I say this a lot, and we've been through prayer and fasting. January was a great month, and I appreciate all the sacrifices. But this is the thing that just keeps coming back to me. If all you have is just a square that you can stand on, and all you have is that space, that all you can do there is pray. If that's all you have is a moment to pray, that is all you need to get started. Why? Because the first thing, when you find a closet of prayer, when you find a place of prayer, when you find an area of your life you can pray, is you need to get in there and say, Lord, first of all, before we go any further, give me more of this right here. carve me. Why? Because I need this right here in my life as much as anything else. Because when I find a place I can pray, then I start praying with faith, and God responds so quickly because He wants you to get addicted to that relationship where you ask Him and He provides, and you ask Him and He provides. He wants to be your provider. I remember my spot. At 14, I would go in the living room. Everyone would be in bed, and I would go in the living room. There's a white chair there, and I'd kneel at that white chair, and I begin to lay before God my petitions that I wanted. 14, what can you pray for? God, help me to pass the test. Help me, Lord, that this happens and that happens, and clear this out. And I would ask God to answer these prayers. And at 14, it wasn't too early to ask. I was praying for God to give me the right wife. Lord, don't let me mess up. I'm seeing people that going out and they think they're old enough to date and this, that, and the other. Protect me, God, that I don't ruin my opportunities, but protect me, God. And as I begin to pray and give my life to Him, God gave me more opportunities, but then He gave me mountains, and I would speak to the mountains, and I didn't have the ability to do what God did, and He would show Himself to me and prove that He was my God. But it started with just a space to stand on and say, God, come on, start showing things out for me. Start doing things for me. He's done it all. He's paid the price. He's paid the price. But it's terrible when you see people, they need to die daily, but they truly fail to live first. There's no excuse not to live, because He will answer your prayers. What's that job you want? You need to start telling Him every day, tell Him about that job. Relationship, bring it to Him every day, bring it to Him. He can work things out that nothing else can if you just talk to Him in prayer. I can't stress that enough, so I'm going to keep stressing it every time you hear me up here, because it is the difference that will be made in your life. A prayer life is a blessed life. If I don't renew my experience with God on a daily basis, I'll begin to find it very difficult to die out to this world if I don't have anything to live for. Live for. You know, we like paydays. Not the candy bar. I like those too, but we like to be paid. We like to be paid. And sometimes that's all you're working for, is if it wasn't for that payday, you know, are you going to go in there and just donate your time? Not likely. Work in a bakery, you might. I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, that could be pretty rewarding. But we like to get paid. God understands. We want rewards. I want my life to be the way I want my life to be. God wants it to be that way too. You know, you've heard probably that, you know, when doing CPR, that, you know, in high school, we took CPR classes, and they had the dummy, and they taught us, you know, put your finger there and two fingers up, and that's the part you push your palm, and, you know. And they have decided, I've heard this so much in the last few years, that the rhythm that you need to use is to the song Staying Alive. And I didn't get it at first. I understand that rhythm, but I thought it's kind of funny that the song is Staying Alive. The song and the rhythm. I guess there's probably other songs with that rhythm, but it might have wording that wouldn't help at all. But I remember when that was a big song in the 70s by the Bee Gees. Some of you that weren't alive during that time, it was a happening time. Bell bottoms and pants, I'm talking about, and horrible clothes. Leisure suit. I wore a leisure suit to school one time, riding a bicycle. I did. I don't know. I have no idea why. During that time was the Bee Gees song, Staying Alive. And incorporate that into the church, and the church might say, you know, we're not going to go that route. We're going to use Amazing Grace. Well, you might lose somebody. And, you know, a better song. It's a nice, wonderful song, but it's that beat they found out is necessary for you to stay alive. So you could just change the wording, but it's the rhythm there that is needed. And if you truly desire to stay alive in the Spirit, the rhythm of your life must be that of being renewed every day. Every day, if you're going to stay alive. Amen? And you don't have to do it to the beaches. You just need to do it all the time. You need to have that rhythm of going before God with everything. You got to be able to give praise to God. You got to be able to give Him of your resources and of your time, talent, and your treasure. But you've got to continue always that you've always got fresh blood flowing between you and your church. Amen. And that relationship with God. Staying in rhythm is critical. A miss here, a miss there. Well, I'll be all right. It's the absence. It's when I'm not here that the enemy's playground suddenly suddenly it becomes aware, and he begins to try to pull me back and give me some reason to not get back to my place of refuge and power. It's serious business. The younger you are in the Lord, just like a child that's born and they're vulnerable when they're young. Babies are vulnerable. They got to have the family, the mother. They need that family so much. But as we grow older, we're able to, you know, stand on our own two feet. A young person in the church, a person that's just received the Holy Ghost and been baptized, they need the rhythm. They need that constant pressure coming and going. They need the people around them to encourage them, to carry them along. They need answers to their questions. They need to know that everyone's loves them and that they're not that different than everybody else. Fellowship causes you to look around and say, you know what, you're like me. That's why it's good to be normal, you know. So if you're being abnormal, stop that. All I'm saying is be real, be your best self, be yourself, be real. I am excited. I mean excited. I like these posters. Thank you, Jess, for putting those together and ordering those. And well, I put it up like that. Jess did the rest. But this is important. This is our church. This is where we're growing. Love, grow, serve, go. Our small groups. I'm excited about small groups because it fits every area of the biblical model of growing the church. Because in that group, the group may go and eat at restaurants. That's to me the group that I just keep thinking about. Chris, you're a genius. And some of the others, eating the food groups. It is. It's awesome. My group is water. We have a water group. It's not exciting. I have nobody that wanted to join. Just kidding. But these groups, whether it's three people in the group or five or 15, the groups are there as a side door entrance, a way that people can enter your group and get to know the body, get to know the people, and get support from that. That group will pray for you. That group will be there for you. It's just a great way for somebody to be attached, and it's truly going to keep those that are drifting, discouragement. That group's going to encourage them. I want to let you in on a secret. Every one of you, I want to tell you something. Being a pastor, you know, you get to hear everybody, I hope. I love to, you know, help people if I can. And you know, they'll bring a prayer request to me. But I'll tell you something. I'm not telling on anybody here, but I'm telling on everybody. I want to tell you something. We are not that different. I'm sorry, you may think you're unique, and you probably are very unique, just like the rest of us. I'm not trying to offend, understand. I'm trying to tell you something. We're not that different. Oh, nobody's dealt with what? Yeah, they have. Yeah, what you're dealing with, they're dealing with it right now. There's just not that much variety. We're people. Expose us to the same things, we're going to react the same way. And God brings us together, and somebody gives a testimony, and you're like, I had no idea you dealt with that. I thought every one of y'all were sainted. Thought you should wear badges. I thought everyone was extra super spiritual. Yeah, we can be. And then maybe not. But we get back. Encourage each other in the Lord. One thing I love about this church, it's the church we should love. It's the one I'm at. So I love things about this church, is there are more genuine people. I mean, like, no facades. I'm amazed at what people will just walk up and tell me. You know, and I'm thankful for it. It would be terrible to have an atmosphere here to where you're afraid to be honest. Because you think everybody's perfect. I love an atmosphere where we can just say, let me tell you what I'm struggling with. And your answer would be, I would say, well, you're not the only one at all. But God's going to help you there too. Amen. Through temptation, oh God, staying alive. We're going to be able to stay alive through all of it. Difficulty, failure, staying alive. Why? Because by the grace of God, we are what we are. By His grace are you saved. Through every setback, the blood still flows. Hallelujah. The blood still flows. The blood still flows. And I'm closing. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't let sin reign. Now, this is very important. If you haven't been in the church very long, if you've just recently received the Holy Ghost, I really got to stress this. If you make a mistake and you try to cordon that off, put it in the closet and say, I'll deal with that. You know, I've always struggled in that area. No. No, you need to expose it and say, God, forgive me for it. Don't let sin reign. Don't let sin wear the crown and make the decisions. It presents itself when people begin to miss service. Well, I couldn't be there. I couldn't be there. And then you wonder what, well, it's this great job that I have. God is not going to give you a job that's going to cost you your soul. I want to tell you that. He's not going to do that. God is not going to give you a relationship that's not going to be holy and acceptable to Him. He's not going to hook you up with somebody, that word, my. He's not going to let you get together with somebody that's going to cause you to be pulled out of the church. That's not the will of God. Don't ever say, well, God gave me, God opened. No. God does not open doors that causes you to get taken and extracted out of the kingdom. What God does is says, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. He didn't say, I'm going to answer every one of your prayers, but I will give you rest. And you can stay alive in His presence, but you got to be in His presence. You got to be in His presence. Statistically, the most common way that people leave the church is when they get 18 or 19 and they get a job. First, they get a job, and that takes them out of church. They might miss a Wednesday. That's okay. You know, I'm going to be there on Sunday. And the next thing you know, it may not be job on Sunday, but the guys at the job, they're wanting to get away, and we're going to do this. And then before long, your life outside the church is being more of a life than the true life that you need. And it is the way most people leave the church is when they begin to grow up and get to that 18, 19 years of age. And if statistically it's proven now, there's all kind of exceptions to this, but if they go to college outside of their hometown, the chances of them staying in the church are just slightly around 10% statistically, because they will find a life, a mate, a value system. And colleges don't really promote biblical values. Matter of fact, some of them are very anti, and you'll find the pockets there. Let me get on a better subject. But more importantly and more appropriate to our point today, we must identify and remove those traits that are embedded in our nature, those things that are unique to us, and arrest those things. We tend to justify our faults and failures by labeling ourselves as maybe I'm unique, I'm special. I'm not saying you're not. I'm not saying that God has given us some wonderful people here, but here is where honesty is truly needed. We've got to be honest with ourselves that we don't lose what God has given us. In a world that tries to be correct about everything, it's like they're correct about nothing most of the time. We're living in a society of inclusion, and I don't want to get in a discussion about that and end my sermon on something political at all, but we have a sin nature. That's what we are born with, a sin nature, and are afforded an opportunity to call on the name of the Lord, and we're afforded the opportunity to expect Him to hear us and respond, because He will respond to those that call out on His name. God is calling us. He's calling us to die out to our old nature. Let us stand. He's calling us to die out to our old nature and live in Him through the power of the Holy Ghost. I got to die out. I got to live with Him. Those two things. Lord, let me die that I can live. You cannot be born without dying. You got to be born again of water and spirit. And God is saying, I need you to die out to your old nature. Sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law. You're under grace. See, the law said, we've got this covered for you. Once a year, the high priest, they take a goat and they kill one and put the blood on this other goat's head. And a fit man would take that goat and walk him outside of the camp, far, far away, to where he thinks that goat will never come back again. Because that the blood on that goat's head represented the sins of all the people. And you were good. Based on the goat staying gone, you were good. Until next year. And then it had to be done again the next year. But the Bible said it never made any man, woman, boy, or girl better. It didn't make you better. It was a type. It was a type of Christ who, as he hung on that tree, it was that bloodline that had never, ever been in this world before, because his bloodline was pure. And when his blood, not that of a lamb or a goat, but his blood was shed, when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that's when that blood is applied to us. And it eradicates, it takes away all of our sins. Not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The precious blood. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your blood. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for your blood. And Lord, I know today I got to die. I got to die. I got to repent. I may need to be buried. You may need to be buried. That's what you do with people that die. And the name needs to be applied if it has never been. You need to have the name applied. In Jesus' name, for the remission, for the taking away of your sins, because sin will not have dominion over you anymore. 8 years old, speaking in a language I had no idea what it was. I just felt amazing all over. But I want to say to God today, thank you, God, that that wasn't the only time. Again and again and again. Hallelujah. Oh, the enemy followed me around, taunted me, pushed me. The devil makes me so angry. You know, the things that anger us the most are crimes against children. Oh, they didn't deserve it. We seethe with anger. And to think the enemy would come up to a kid and taunt them, push them around. Yeah. You know why he's so afraid? That child's going to grow up and that child's going to tell somebody about it and say, I want to tell you about the blood of Jesus. I want to tell you that I died, but now I rose again to walk in newness of life. Oh, friend, let me tell you, there's nothing like it. Oh, there's nothing like this. Could you gather up here with me? Would you mind just let's kind of, I know we've been up here before. Yeah, we're going to come back and we're going to bring our needs to the Lord. If you want to be baptized today, we are well able. We've got everything needed, clothing, towels, everything. We've got that for you if you want to be baptized.